Chapter 3. In his general morning flailing and half-awake state, Styles nearly misses the bright green envelope sitting on his nightstand. It's a good thing he does find it, he later thinks, because otherwise he would have figured out something was very weird when he went to get dressed and saw the scars on his stomach and chest. But he does see it, and he picks it up with a frown. Hi, Styles. This is Styles. You've been having some trouble with your memory, so I'm leaving notes for you, us, so you're less confused in the morning. You're gonna realize pretty soon that a lot's changed since the last thing you remember, which is probably something about the summer before our sophomore year of high school. So let's take it in order. What's the date? Today is May 25th, 2015. No way! 2015? Yeah, sorry. A lot has happened. You've forgotten about 3, almost 4 years of time. You just finished your freshman year of college, and your life is actually kind of awesome. Good on you. Us. Why am I losing my memory? We're not sure yet. We've done a bunch of medical tests, but so far nobody has been able to figure it out. Some kind of magic is involved.
Haha, magic. Good joke.
No, dude, I'm totally serious. Now is a good time for you to get up and look in the mirror. Don't freak out. Frowning, Styles climbs out of bed and heads into the bathroom. He stares at himself in the mirror, dressed only in his boxers and hardly able to believe what he's seeing. In addition to the extra height, the longer hair, and the wiry muscles, he looks at the scars like they're something from a movie. He gropes for the letter and starts reading again. What the hell? I know. Like I said, don't freak out. A lot's happened in the past few years. Werewolves are real. Magic is a thing. You probably don't want to think about it too hard. There's someone downstairs who can give you the details. Who's that? His name is Derek. He's your height, dark, and broody. You're going to go downstairs and find him looking like someone just killed his puppy. He's sort of your boyfriend. Boyfriend? But I'm straight! Well, mostly, but that isn't the point. You two are a couple, but you don't have sex. Trust me, you're going to fall in love with him without ever realizing it. Anyway, it's also sort of a werewolf thing. He's your mate. Stop rolling your eyes at me. If you don't want to think of him as your boyfriend, think of him as your brother. Take it easy on him, because he's more freaked out about this than you are. See, every morning when you wake up, you are facing this problem for the first time. And he's faced it every morning for about 2 weeks now. And every morning you're forgetting a little more. Now you've forgotten about him, and he obviously doesn't want to admit that he's totally not okay. So what do I do? Go downstairs, hug Derek, make him some breakfast. There are really smart, really competent people who are trying to figure this out. Cooperate with them. Your dad is in on this. Listen to what he says. Do what he tells you. You can trust Derek 100%, and then they'll fix it, and you'll remember everything. Styles folds up the letter and takes a deep breath. He studies himself in the mirror and says, "Okay, you can handle this. You've obviously handled a lot worse." He runs his fingers along the scars on his stomach, and Jesus, is that a scar from a bullet wound he has on his upper abdomen? He shudders and throws on some clothes. The letter's description of Derek is 100% accurate. There's a dark-haired man with circles under his eyes and a generous amount of stubble, sitting in a chair at the bottom of the stairs, obviously waiting for him to appear. Styles is glad that Derek was smart enough not to wait in the bedroom, because if he'd woken up to that, he would have been screaming for his dad. Derek is staring at him with this intense, piercing gaze, which makes Styles' throat a little dry. He clutches the bright green envelope and says, "So, I guess you're Derek?" "Yeah." His voice is surprisingly soft. Did you read this?" Styles asks, brandishing the envelope. And he shakes his head. Okay, so I'm Styles? Shit, you knew that. He rubs a hand over his head. This is weird, but I wrote myself a letter saying to trust you and to make you breakfast.
You did?
Derek's lips twitch in a smile.
That's so like you.
Yeah, I guess some things don't change. Styles heads into the kitchen. Derek has already started the coffee maker, and he makes a beeline for it. French toast?
Sure,
Derek says. He takes his own chair back to the kitchen table, watching Styles with that dark stare. Styles busies himself with eggs and milk and bread. He finds cooking soothing. He always has. Where's my dad at? He asks.
He got up early, had a meeting with Chris Argent.
Who's that?
Oh, he's a werewolf hunter. But a good guy, mostly.
Derek's tone is a little grudging.
Never mind. Let me start over. Chris is Scott's girlfriend's dad.
Scott has a girlfriend? Awesome! Hey, where is Scott?
At the same meeting.
Derek is still just watching him.
Scott's in the pack. Our pack. He's a werewolf. So am I. You're not, but you're still part of the pack. So is Allison, Scott's girlfriend. Her dad has a lot of experience, and he's trying to help figure out who might have done this.
Okay. Styles rubs a hand up and down his arm. Can I call him?
Scott? Sure, if you want.
Derek considers this, and then lets out a breath.
We decided he's helping coordinate things with the pack, and the people who are trying to figure out what's happening to you. And we decided that I would stay with you. Or, I guess we didn't so much decide things as I just did that. Would it be easier for you if it was him here in the mornings to explain things?
Styles is quiet as he flips the French toast. He doesn't know this man in his kitchen, but there's this small part of him that feels like he does, that can hear the anxiety in his voice. He can see the way his shoulders are tensing, the way he's preparing for a blow. No, it's fine if it's you, he says, and sees Derek's shoulders loosen. I guess the letter said to trust you, so I'll assume I know what I'm talking about, or that I did when I wrote the letter. Do you like your eggs scrambled or fried?
Fried, hard, and thanks.
No problem, man, Styles says, cracking some eggs into another pan. So my job is to sit around and wait while people try to figure this shit out, and your job is to keep me from freaking out while I wake up in the morning and see that I look like a piñata?
The slightest hint of a smile twitches on Derek's lips. Basically, yeah.
Is there something I can do to help at all? I don't know anything about magic, but I could try.
You've been helping. Up until yesterday. You at least remembered the pack and stuff. Don't worry about it. They're on a new tactic now, which is to think about all the different people we've pissed off and track them down to see if they're the guilty party, which you can't really help with since you don't remember pissing them off.
Truth, Styles says. Was it fun?
Derek's lips twitch again. Usually.
Was it worth it?
Definitely.
Awesome!
Styles scoops up 2 fried eggs and 2 pieces of French toast onto each plate, and then drops them both on the table.
Okay, I know you probably expect me to ask a bunch of questions about werewolves and stuff, but honestly, I just don't want to think about that too much. So can I ask a different bunch of questions?
Feel free, Derek says.
Did I ever manage to make the lacrosse team?
Yeah. Derek smiles again at Styles' incredulous look. Your junior year. Scott did too. He was co-captain.
Holy shit, yes, awesome! Styles says. Okay, this is kind of insensitive since you're my boyfriend, but I've gotta know. Did I ever get a date with Lydia Martin?
No, Derek says. But she's your friend now, and you seem pretty okay with that.
Styles thinks about this. Then says, I'll take it. So, I'm in college now? Where am I going?
San Jose State.
Aw, really? I wanted to go to Columbia.
Sorry, Derek says. Too much else was going on. You decided that you didn't want to go to such a high-stress school. Styles makes a face. Okay, fine. How's my Jeep? You and that Jeep. Derek shakes his head fondly. Your Jeep is fine. It's been modified to have a better engine and painted in camo colors. Sweet! Styles says. He shovels more eggs into his face. He's quiet while he eats. Finally, he says, I guess I'm probably going to have to ask you all this again tomorrow. Sorry, will you answer them all again for me? Every morning for the rest of my life if I need to, Derek says quietly. Styles looks up, realizes he's blushing, and then looks back down. You know, the letter I wrote to myself said that I fell in love with you without realizing it, and now I can totally see why. He sees Derek's cheeks color, too. It also said to hug you, which I really want to do right about now, so yeah. He pushes his plate aside and gets up, moving around the table to settle himself in Derek's lap. Derek makes a little noise and pushes his nose into the crook of Styles' shoulder, inhaling his scent, which is, okay, weird. But not bad weird. Styles wraps an arm around him and hugs him. It's gonna be okay, Derek, he says. Even if I don't remember you, you seem pretty cool. So I'm sure we can, you know, we'll work it out. Derek nods and holds him tighter. Thanks. What for? For always knowing what I need. Styles shrugs a little. Just doing what the letter said. Well, you wrote the letter. I guess I did, Styles laughs. I need more coffee. Let's go check in on Scott and my dad. Deal? Derek nods. Deal. Sheriff Stilinski waits until Styles has been reunited with Scott, and Scott is introducing him to Allison and Chris and telling him about the leads that they've been running down that morning. To pull Derek aside. How'd it go this morning? He asks, hoping that he doesn't look as anxious as he feels. He had wanted to be there, the first morning that Styles woke up without any memory of the pack, but an armed robbery at 4 a.m. had gotten him out of the house. Pretty well, all things considered, Derek says. He was confused, obviously, but having the letter from himself helped. I guess he told himself in the letter to trust me, so he didn't freak out about me being there. I actually asked if he'd rather have Scott there in the mornings, and he said no. Well, that's good. Tom hooks his thumbs into his belt loops and huffs out a sigh. Yeah, that's good. I just wish we knew how long it would last. Derek nods. Neither of them say what they're thinking. That it's not just Styles' memory to worry about, but his emotional maturity. Still, Derek seems more relaxed than he had been for the previous few days. Tom supposes that the pressure is off now, in a strange sort of way. Derek had been fighting against a deadline, the day that Styles forgot about him. Now the deadline is passed, and while the situation will continue to get worse, for Derek, the worst thing has already happened, and he survived it. Tom guesses that his calm is only a momentary lull in the emotional storm, but he'll take it, if it's all he can get. Well, if he's okay with you, that's good. But if he's okay with Scott, that might be good too, because we've been contemplating a road trip, and I thought you might want to come. Derek turns to him with a frown. What? Chris has asked a lot of questions and called in a lot of favors, and we might have finally hit on something helpful. We've pretty much ruled out the Gutierrez family. They don't have the resources. But while this was all going on, Victoria went up to Wyoming. That's where she's from originally. She went to just check in and snoop around a bit. I'm surprised she did that, Derek says, blinking. Tom gives a little shrug. Victoria Argent is a strange woman, and he's never been entirely sure of how she'll react to anything. But she seems to genuinely love her husband and daughter, and she did what Chris asked of her. Well, she says that they have a guest right now. Agnes St. James. She used to be one of the elders. Oh God, that bitch. Derek says. Well, she's got more than enough reason to hate Styles. She never did believe that Ian was acting on his own. Yeah, and I think it's pretty coincidental that she's up with the Nazario family, who also have a pretty decent reason not to like you guys, given what happened to Vivian. Tom raises a hand when he sees Derek start to scowl. You know, and I know, that Styles was barely involved in that, and certainly wasn't directly responsible for Vivian's death. But given his overall reputation, it'd be easy enough for them to place blame at his door. Yeah, I guess so, Derek says. What about the sorcerer, though? Well, Chris says that most hunters have at least one or two sorcerers that they consult with, and the Nazario family has several. And, to make things even more likely, Deaton isn't acquainted with any of them. They're very clannish and secretive up there, and they have strong Native American roots. He says the kind of magic they can do is very unlike anything he's ever learned, and he has no real idea of how powerful any of them are. Okay, Derek says. So what's the plan? Chris and Deaton were going to go check it out. I wasn't sure if you'd want to go or not. Derek's jaw sets, and he's clearly torn on the issue. Tom can sympathize. While he himself has the desire to go find the asshole who's doing this and make them regret it, he knows that Derek doesn't want to leave Styles. It's not only instinct, but the fear that if he isn't around to remind Styles of who he is every day, he'll somehow lose his connection with him. No, he finally says. I'd rather stay here with Styles. Is Allison going? Tom nods. Yeah, she said she would go. So I'm thinking she might take Scott or Lydia with her. Or both. Yeah, that's a good idea. What about you? I don't really have any excuse to go along, and I've got my duties here, so I'll be staying. Tom folds his arms over his chest and considers. How much longer do you want to try to explain things to Styles in the morning? Jesus, I don't know. Derek pushes a hand back through his hair. If we could pass it off as some medical issue, I would. But if he looks in the mirror and sees the scars and everything, he'll know that it's bullshit. He'll want answers. And I just don't know what we would tell him. I know it seems complicated to try to explain werewolves to him every morning, but I just don't see a better alternative. Okay, Tom says. I was kind of thinking the same thing. He checks his watch. Chris was headed out on a 4 p.m. flight, so let's go check in with him. See if there's anything he needs. They nod and head back to the others. Deaton is sitting with Styles, patiently explaining what they know about the spell so far. He glances up and gives Derek a nod of acknowledgement. Styles asked me to run something by you, he says. I'm going to be going up to Wyoming with Chris, and if at all possible, I'd like to take a lock of Styles' hair with me. It might help me locate whoever there is doing magic against him, if anyone there is. Styles looks up at his father and Derek anxiously. But he said hair can be used against people, and I wasn't sure that was okay, so I told him to check with you. Tom rubs a hand over Styles' head and says, It's okay with me. Derek's jaw tightens, but he nods. Anything that will help. Deaton takes out a small pair of scissors and snips off a little piece of Styles' hair, folding it into a handkerchief and then tucking it into a small wooden box. All right, shall we be going? He asks Chris, who nods. Allison leans over and squeezes Derek's wrist. Lydia and I are going to go with him. Scott decided that he'd rather stay here. Okay. Derek lets out a breath. Tom nods approval as well. He wasn't sure whether or not Scott would want to go, given the condition that Styles is in. But he's definitely glad that Lydia is. Not only is she one of the smartest people he's ever met, but she's well-versed in magical lore. Not as deeply as Deaton, but perhaps more diversely. She also wasn't at the conclave, unlike Scott, so people there won't recognize her. We'll stay in touch, Allison says, seeing how nervous Derek is. I'll check in every hour, once I'm off the plane at least. Okay, yeah, good idea. They exchange a quick hug. Scott gives her a hug and a kiss, and Styles seems a little confused by the tension. Without his memories of everything they've been through, he has no real comprehension of the kind of danger they might be walking into. Which is fine by Tom. In fact, he'd prefer to keep Styles oblivious to that as much as possible. So once he's back out at the car with his son, Derek and Scott, he says, "Well, it's early yet. How do you boys feel about a few rounds of mini-golf?" "Yeah!" Styles says excited, and gives Derek an innocent, happy smile. Derek forces himself to smile back. If Scott is on his phone more than usual that evening, nobody pesters him. They're at the Stilinski house with a variety of PAC members. Derek wants to limit it as much as possible so as not to overwhelm Styles, but everyone still needs their alpha time, even if the alpha himself doesn't recognize it. So Boyd and Erica are over, and Mac was there for a while, but left after dinner, because her little brother was in a play. Scott broods over this, watching Styles as he plays video games with Boyd. Styles has always been big about family, and the families of the pack were no exception. He had always wanted to attend Lakeisha's dance recitals and Erica's younger sister's softball games. Scott has no doubt that if Styles remembered what he was, he'd be sitting next to Mac at that play, and would probably have dragged 3 or 4 pack members along with him. He's worried about the way Styles is playing the video game, too, as silly as that sounds. He and Styles always played a lot of video games, and Styles is an ace at first-person shooter games. Or at least he was 2 weeks ago. He's slower now, less skilled. He wasn't as good at mini-golf as he used to be. And it's not just that he's losing memory. It's like his entire life is being rewound. They've all agreed that there's no point in worrying about whether or not his memories will return if they can stop the spell. It's a bridge they'll cross when they get to it. But now, for the first time, Scott is watching his friend and wondering if he would want them to. This is Styles at 16, before Peter Hale kidnapped him and broke him. This is Styles before he committed murder, before he learned how deep his capacity for darkness could run. It's not that Styles is unhappy in their current life, but Scott can't help but wonder, if he had been given the choice to go back to being innocent and unburdened, what Styles would choose. He looks happy as he loses at video games and scolds his father about his cholesterol and watches Derek like he's an interesting puzzle to try to solve. But Scott can't exactly ask anyone about that without probably getting punched in the face, so he keeps his observations to himself. In the end, it's probably a moot point. He doubts they'll get any choice in the matter. So he sits and watches and continuously texts Allison. Their plane has arrived in Cheyenne. Her mother is picking them up. It'll be about 90 minutes by car. Then they're at the house. She meets her great uncle, and there's nearly bloodshed right off the bat because at least 3 different Nazario family members don't want Allison there and suspect that Lydia is probably a werewolf. Chris gets them calmed down. Aria, the family matriarch, isn't there, and nobody else seems to want to throw them out without her permission. Deaton's magic spell doesn't get any direct hits with Styles' lock of hair, but there are a number of condensations of magical energy nearby, and they're going to go check them out. She'll keep in touch. They might not get an answer anytime soon. By the time she sent that text, it's late, and the others are thinking about going to bed. Boyd and Erica decide to head home. Awkwardness ensues between Derek and Styles, and Scott feels bad for Derek, because he can see how hard it's been for him to watch a movie with Styles without Styles sprawled all over him. He keeps reaching out to touch him and then thinking better of the idea. "I guess I can use the same letter I used this morning," Styles finally says. "I mean, it's got all the basic info in it, and it won't really matter that tomorrow's going to be May 26th, not May 25th. "Yeah," Derek says. Scott sees him brooding and makes an executive decision. "Well, since we don't know exactly what's going on, we'll stay up in your room with you. We can shift so it'll be less weird, and then clear out before you wake up in the morning." Derek nods and looks relieved. Styles agrees readily enough, and they troop upstairs. Of course, Styles is mentally 16 at this point, and he wants to read comics and eat chips in bed, and he makes a few dirty jokes and waggles his eyebrows a lot. Derek grumps around and shifts so he doesn't have to respond. And Scott finally talks Styles into getting some sleep. He and Derek agree to take turns staying up, both so they can be available if Allison needs anything, and so they can make sure they vacate before Styles wakes up. The sensible thing to do would be to leave Styles' room as soon as he falls asleep, but Scott has a feeling that Derek might freak out if he suggests that. It would be a quiet, internal freakout, accompanied by agreement, but it would still be a freakout. So instead, he sits up and plays games on his phone and reads a book and waits. Allison texts twice, first to say that they checked out one of the magical disturbances and it wasn't relevant, and then to say she's going to sleep and might not text for a while. Styles fell asleep around 11, so Scott wakes Derek at 3 a.m. to take over. Then he crawls into the bed and is unconscious within minutes. Derek wakes him at 7 and says, "You have a few messages," before curling back up at Styles' feet. Scott grabs the phone eagerly and sees why Derek had just said that instead of telling him what they were. Having to say them out loud would have been embarrassing, since Allison has texted with, "I miss you, and it's hard to sleep without you here." He texts her to let her know that he's up for the day, then turns his attention to Styles. He's still sound asleep, but it's been about 8 hours, so it's time to go. He prods Derek up and off the bed and gets a snarl for his trouble. Once they get downstairs, Derek is his usual surly self, but he starts the coffee maker because obviously Styles is going to want coffee when he gets up. Scott finds himself nervous, too. He usually hasn't been here in the mornings. They haven't wanted Styles to feel overwhelmed, so they've left it to Derek to explain. This will be the first time that he'll get to be a direct witness to Styles when he wakes up since all this started. He's somehow not surprised when Styles jogs downstairs and does a double take. "Dude, you're so buff! What the hell?" Scott laughs despite himself. "Yeah, I guess I put on some muscle." Styles reaches out and squeezes Scott's bicep. "Holy God! How much can you bench?" Scott rubs a hand over the back of his head. "I'm not sure. 500-600 pounds, maybe?" he says, understating the case dramatically, because he doesn't want Styles to freak out. "That's completely awesome! I mean, the letter said some time had gone by, and God knows that I don't look anything like I remember, but hey, is that coffee? Sweet!" He breaks away from Scott and heads into the kitchen. Everything else takes a second seat while he gets some caffeine. "So, I guess you're Derek, the boyfriend." "That would be me," Derek says, and Scott can see the tension in his shoulders and jaw. "Damn," Styles says, giving a low whistle. "I mean, just damn. I know I'm basically straight, but I can see myself making an exception for you. Though the letter said we don't have sex, which, why? I mean, okay, you could probably have sex with anyone you wanted, so I can see why you wouldn't pick me, but I'm not really sure that's..." Since Derek's shoulders are just tightening more, and Styles obviously has no idea of the landmine he's stepping on, Scott hastens to intervene. "Hey, why don't we make some breakfast, and then we can wake your dad?" Fortunately, Styles at this age is easy to redirect. "Oh yeah, good idea. Have we got any of that turkey bacon?" "We outlawed it, like, years ago." "Fair enough. Stuff was gross." Styles is tearful as he roots around the refrigerator. Scott shakes his head a little and looks over to see if Derek would welcome a friendly shoulder squeeze. But the older werewolf is gone. Scott assumes he snuck away to regain his composure, and elects not to bother him. Instead, he texts the others to let them know that Styles is up for the day. "So, what's the last thing you remember?" he asks. Styles rubs a hand over the back of his head. That Halloween party at Lydia's, where I spent the entire evening getting shot down by every girl in our class?" Oh, yikes, Scott says, but grimaces inwardly. That was another 10 months gone in one night. Styles huffs a laugh of agreement. If only they knew what a hottie I was going to turn into, he says excitedly. If only I had known. Truth, Scott agrees. They make some scrambled eggs, and Styles throws some leftovers in so they're not so boring. And by then, Sheriff Stalinsky is downstairs. Derek still isn't back, so Scott leaves Styles bonding with his father and goes to look for him. He nearly runs face first into him as he's coming in from the backyard, holding his cell phone in one hand and with a grim expression on his face. We've got a problem, he says. What? Scott asks, immediately thinking of Allison and panicking. I just got off the phone with Danny, Derek says. Jackson's missing.